everybody. Welcome to episode 1014 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by James Dean Rader. He's got his best podcasting clogs on. I said, right. JD, wear your best clogs today.
I said, say less.
He did not disappoint. To my left, he's turning Japanese, and he's also turning on his laptop volume for some reason.
I'm monitoring the chat. I forgot to mute.
Is this what you're going to do instead of the show?
Yes.
Because sometimes you just be sitting there, and then you kind of redo some aspects of the show. His name's Tyler. He does the show. He kind of does the show twice because he sits there during it, and then
I just, you know, I like redundancy.
He tries to redo it. Yeah, we know. And of course, calling in from the frozen north of Wisconsin, Ben Funky Askren. Ben is that oppositional child who before every single show, the producer would be like, hot mic. And Ben makes a point to be not talking before then, but then he uses that as a reason to then talk. And so to spoil the hot mic.
Great reason.
That may be the only thing I'll miss about Ben. That's it. But I've actually learned so it used to like want to like punch the air when you did that. Now it doesn't even bother me. I actually find the humor in it. So I thank you, Ben. Thank you for everything.
You got it.
Okay. So probably talk a little transfers, a little last chance open by the numbers, some final NCAA thoughts, although I'm sure we'll be referring back to the tournament for some time now. JD, where do you want to start?
Let's get into transfers. I feel like that's what everybody's been talking about the past two, three days. Yeah.
Dean Hamady in the portal. No surprise.
No more.
Huh?
Not anymore.
Out of the portal.
Took all 2 days.
In and out. Into the portal. Out to the portal.
Yes. So it was kind of known for a while that Dean was going to probably do this. It was not a surprise when he went in. And then it wasn't really a surprise when he went to Oklahoma State. So good pickup for the Cowboys. There's some question like what weight he wants to wrestle. It sounded like he wanted to move up. Maybe he didn't want to move up. I don't know.
Man, he sure does look big though, right?
I mean, especially next to Mitchell. He made Mitchell look like a 57 pounder for sure. I think he looks big. Like he could move up, but with going to Oklahoma State, where does he fit best? You know, they have Braden Thompson. Braden could redshirt.
Who do they have as a 65? Because Oleznik was a senior.
I don't think they have a.
Maybe they're going to get Caleb Fish too.
Maybe they get Fish. Maybe they get Saldate.
Boom. There's a lineup right there.
There it is. So he's the biggest name that has gone in the portal so far. JD, you have the updated transfer tracker.
Yeah, Caleb Fish in there as well. Chase Saldate, Connor McGonigal.
Yeah.
It's a big one that went in as soon as it opened, obviously, with Crookham being in front of him. He needs to find a new home.
He do. So not sure where he's looking or going to wind up, but good pickup at 133 for whoever should get him. And, yeah, we'll see how many more go in the portal over the next couple days. There's rumors and murmurs of other guys, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Some other good names for sure. Jason Kreiser, he's an NCAA qualifier, was an Iowa State graduate.
Yeah.
Billy Janzer, I think he was an NCAA qualifier also.
Two-time, correct? I believe, 2020 and 2021.
Two-time.
Bachman's in there.
Evan Bachman, he's solid. So some pretty solid guys in the portal.
Yeah. JD did an article about the transfer portal, kind of how guys performed, didn't perform, etc. I encourage you to check it out. JD, what surprised you in making that article?
Not really a whole lot. We knew there was a bunch of transfers this year, and especially with graduate transfers. We were kind of talking about it this morning with guys getting this extra year.
Yeah.
I don't want to say most, but a good portion of the transfers, especially the ones that performed well, were graduate.
Yeah,
transfers.
I looked at it, and I think half of the All-Americans that portaled were either graduate transfers or their program had been dropped. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, hey, is this good? Is it bad? I think really, until the COVID dust settles, which I think it's finally going to settle next year.
Mm-hmm. We're close. We're real close.
I'll be glad to not talk. It is so still glad. The dumbest thing ever that they gave extra years to guys that were not impacted at all and made the 2020 just eat it. It's just like this. It makes no sense.
So bad.
Who thought of that? Who said, I got an idea, guys. Hear me out. What if freshmen that were not impacted at all by this randomly got to wrestle for 5 years in college?
Seriously.
For no reason whatsoever.
So here's just kind of some quick stats that I found. 57 of the 330 qualifiers were transfers. That's almost 18%. 23% of the All-Americans were transfers. 22% of all the NCAA team points scored were transfers. Almost half. And,
70% of Michigan's points, Tyler.
Relax.
Yes. almost half of the teams had at least one transfer competing. And 71%, and this is kind of a take it with a grain of salt stat because it's very surface level. Just looking at numbers, but 71% had their best finish at their current institution, meaning they transferred and then placed higher or whatever. But you know, that's surface level. Like, okay, Truex goes in there as no because he took fifth this year. He had taken fourth every other year. That's basically the same, right?
Yeah,
you lost twice.
It's like literally the same record.
No, because he took in place.
Right, that one's like, you know, hard to know. Brayton Lee counts as a no because he took sixth at Minnesota 1 year. But if you look at his last year at Minnesota to this year at Indiana,
yeah,
it was definitely better.
Solid.
So, really, the biggest takeaway I had was everybody wants to talk about, you know, Michigan. Penn State, insert big name program, benefiting from the portal. Lock Haven and Ryder were both in the top 10 in terms of benefiters from the portal. If you look at points scored at NCAAs, minus points that left their institution. So, not just your big programs that are reaping the benefits of the portal.
Yeah, Lock Haven. I mean, they also had Henson. He didn't score a point, but he was still a top 12 seed. Yeah,
he was. And Oklahoma, where he transferred from, failed to qualify at 141.
And another thing, you were talking about this before the show too, JD. Like, it's a little, I think reductive would be probably the word, just like all about the NCAA performance. Like someone like Will Feldkamp, who went from All-American to not All-American, but Iowa State got tremendous benefit from having him from the regular season performance, Big 12s, and even some of the points he scored at NCAAs.
Without two wins, pin in a major. I'm not sure if they finished fourth.
Well, they don't beat Iowa, that's for sure, without Feldkamp. So there's a big impact there that you can't just make it all about the NCAA tournament, even though, you know, that is the final test and the biggest thing. But there is a lot of talk, you know, is it good, is it bad? I think it's fine. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I like it. Now, there are some transfers. When they happen, I am disappointed, and you're like, man, that's not great. But
like which one?
Well, I don't want to get into it because I don't want to, you know. But you know the
ruffle
ones.
Feathers?
It's not really.
You know what I was thinking, Christian? Non-feather ruffler Christian.
Yeah.
I had to do that little thing where I walk around with the little stick, you know, in the All-Americans.
That's what we've always called it. The thing when you walk around with the stick. It's the stick. It's just a stick. The parade of champions.
Stick. It was like a cardboard cutout.
They call those signs.
Some type of material. I don't know what type of material it was. Anyways, we're all in the back, right? We go on the elevator. You go in this back room. You all meet. You talk about what you're going to do, how you're going to walk, and then you go back in the back room. And then when you come back out, all 80 All-Americans are sitting right there, right? They're sitting in rows of their All-Americans. And I said, you know what the crappy part about being on FRL is? Probably at least half those dudes are like, F that guy to me, you know? And because, like, I'm not going to soften how I feel about him. And like, say, you know, Alex Marinelli, he's a guy I picked on a lot, so we'll just use him.
To this
like,
day,
I'm sure he's a fine guy. I'm sure he's a fine gentleman, right? But he bored me, and I didn't like the way he wrestled. And so I was going to say it. And so I'm sure that makes him not like me, which is fine. It's part of the job. But it does kind of suck a little bit because most of those guys I probably have no actual real beef with. But a lot of them probably don't like me. So that is a kind of negative part of the job. So I understand why you don't want to ruffle any feathers now.
Well, I ruffle plenty. It's just I don't feel like in this particular instance getting into a – I think you could probably read between
non-feather
the lines.
Ruffler.
Well, you feel bad for the like non-Power 5 programs that bring a guy up, turn them into an All-American, and then maybe lose him.
People are saying scared money don't make money, CP.
What?
In the chat.
Oh, I don't. What, is this an Austin Gomez reference?
That's what people are saying.
I would counter that.
Why would I care? Saying scared money don't make money, and you are not making any money today.
Not making any money. Well.
Well, I would counter that with, do we feel bad for Ohio State and Oklahoma who got outplaced by their guys that left?
Who?
Quinn Kinner? What do you mean by
Quinn
that?
Quinn Kinner outscored D'Amelio. Wyatt Henson qualified. Oklahoma didn't qualify. Is Lock Haven and Ryder bad for NCAA wrestling?
They're
stealing from programs in need.
Noto outplaced Camacho.
Noto outplaced Camacho.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot Noto was at NC State.
Bro, NC State's 125 stable. They had Poulin. They had Noto, Camacho. And Trombley there. They had like four national qualifier caliber guys. None of them plays for NC State.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
We were kind of also talking before the show, a guy like Feldkamp. Is it better for you, strictly NCAA wrestling-wise, to stay at a program where you're not going to get scouted as hard, there's not going to be as much film and eyes out 100%. There on you, you know?
Well, especially him. Well, he had a very
specific style.
Gimmicky kind of, like, he had a little series he did that was really, really good. And very few people, I think, knew about it going into NCAAs last year. You wrestle at Vegas and you wrestle Iowa State schedule, and there's a ton of awareness about what you do.
But that's also a factor of how good you are. Because if you went to All American at Clarion, people would have said, "Who's this dude?" and they would have scouted him prior to the next year. And he did never All American.
True.
Clarion. Yes,
he did All American at Clarion.
And he did?
Yeah, last year.
No way. See,
yes, he did.
No one could even know that. There's no way we can know if you're right.
All right, Chael.
I'm looking it up.
It happened. He pinned a bunch of dudes.
Oh, my God, he did. You're right. You know what? In my head, Christian, right now, in my head, he had a good national tournament and then went to Iowa State last year, like 2 years ago. In my head, he's been at Iowa State 2 years.
Wow.
Just the one.
Wow. Yeah, I twisted that one up. He's been in college for like 9 years, though. I'm looking at his wrestle stat. It's been a minute.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
2017 high school grad.
Oh, my gosh. I'm ready. I'm ready for all these guys. Move on.
Yes.
What do we?
I'm jealous.
Oh yeah. I mean, you understand why they do it. Yeah. I don't blame them at all. What do you think? All right. So there's a lot of sort of hey with the Penn State guys. What does Carter do? What does Greg do? What does Bo Bartlett do? It sounds like they're all sort of weighing their options. What's your prediction, Ben? What do you think happens there?
Kale gets what Kale wants. Generally, he's very convincing in his style of argumentation. So I would imagine if he wants them back, they'll be back.
Yeah, I think that Starace and Greg have the biggest team impact for sure. Because I think with Bo, it's like, all right, well, if Bo leaves, you slide Kasek down, and he's obviously awesome and probably good enough to win a title or at least contend at 141.
Yes,
and Van Ness comes back, so it's really minimal impact there. And if Bo does come back, you can redshirt Tyler, and then he can slide in, or they can figure that out. But like with Greg, there's not a real. I mean, there's not a great option behind him. I'd say there's good options behind Carter. Of course, there's no Carter. There's no Greg. But at least they have Barr.
What does what does Greg want to do? Because like Carter said, he wants to go fight. Okay, great. Move on with your go to your fighting career. Awesome. What does Greg want to do? Does he want to fight also or something?
I'm sure he wants to train senior level for a bit, but Yeah, I know he did. He has expressed MMA aspirations in the past.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Okay. I mean, that's one of those where it's like, especially at heavyweight, if you're going to keep wrestling, you might as well wrestle for the team. Like, you know, senior level heavyweight is not all that different than college heavyweight.
Do you think that Penn State eventually runs into a money issue? Like, they have the biggest RTC. They have all these NCAA champions. Like, do you think they eventually run out of money to NIL money to pay these guys?
Not run out of money.
RTC money to pay these guys?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's.
They're not running out of money.
No.
Okay.
They also have the benefit of guys wanting to go there, not even because of money or money aside, because it's a proven place to have success.
They're not even the program that spends the most. Like, Iowa spends more.
Oh,
Iowa has a
RTC.
Budget.
RTC. If you include the RTC, then.
Well, yeah. Hawkeye Wrestling. You'd be surprised.
For sure, Christian.
You would be surprised.
Who's getting paid in the Hawkeye Wrestling Club?
I said budget.
Spencer, Austin, Alex Marinelli. Like, list out NLWC. That list is freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, it's quite a roster.
It's huge. Yes.
HWC spending.
So
they
on the new wrestling room.
It's all there. No. Just the Hawkeye Wrestling Club.
Well, they did spend a lot in the new wrestling room.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But that's separate.
Oh yeah.
Tom raised that money.
All donor. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that because, I mean, they just keep not only having national champions, but also adding those guys to their RTC roster. And, like, no one has retired yet. So,
yeah,
I just wondered if that eventually becomes a problem where you have all this top talent that the landscape has kind of led them to expect a certain amount of money or whatever. Or maybe if they just are so happy at Penn State with the success that they're having that it doesn't matter to them. They just want to stay.
Yeah, I don't think it's an issue right now. I don't think they're running up against the wall for what they can pay guys.
I think they have almost an endless budget, but as far as wrestling is concerned, an endless budget.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't see that changing. But for Greg, man, just watching him the tournament, it feels like he could be our guy 100% for Paris. Like, I thought he's really wrestling on a high level. Obviously, a showdown with Mason. Waits. Mason's sitting out in the finals, but
he also has the advantage of his last name literally being Paris.
That is a huge advantage. But he spelled it wrong.
And how does it wrong?
And how does that factor in? But he also might be a Freemason and all that comes with that.
JD likes to say, "We were Mason in Paris."
Yeah. Oh, that's a little close. Mm. A little close. I'll have been laughing like he knows that song.
I've heard it on the radio. I couldn't name it.
Yeah. It's called Mason in Paris.
Yep.
Is that real? No, you're lying.
No.
No. It's not real.
No, I think you guys are making it
up. So it's a first class ticket to jail.
Chainsmokers song?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It does not matter. What was I going to say? Oh, I was trying to talk about Greg. You're
talking about Greg, yeah.
Yeah, I was. But yeah, he looks like a guy.
He also has the benefit of probably having more longevity in terms of athletic career. So if he wants to wrestle for another quad and then go over to MMA, it's probably going to play out better than a lighter weight.
For sure.
That is factual.
Yeah, so I think...
Well, are you citing that crazy stat about athletes age 35 and over?
Yeah, they do not win their fights.
Title fights, they're like 2-37. If you're, what was it, 170 and under, I think, is not good.
That's not good. Young man's game. No. And I'm trying to think, do we see a little bit of that in international too? I feel like Nomad's like crunched some numbers on ages of world champions, and like the younger guys definitely fare very well, fare better.
I don't know about world champions, but in terms of making the team, prior to these last couple of years, it was always like 2 years out of college is by far the most likely you are to make the team. That was kind of like the sweet spot, 24, 5,
I would say
6, even then after that. Now, Burroughs, Taylor, Dake, they're starting to skew that a little bit. But prior yes. to their runs the past couple of years, that was your window, was 1 and 2 years after college.
Most of our guys are like right after, not even 2 years, like immediately. Yeah. You think of the yes. guys when they made their first team, James Green, Thomas Gilman, Jordan Burroughs. Dake and Taylor were exceptions in that how long it took them to make teams.
Oh, but I thought JD was just talking about their ability to stick around and continue to make teams, because, and I think that's largely, and I've talked about this, largely money thing, where previously guys left and went and did other things because they just didn't want to be poor. And now these guys are making a nice income and they can just keep wrestling because that's what they want to do.
Yeah, which is great. So, yeah, I think mm-hmm. Greg, you know, if Greg ends up making the team, does that positively or negatively benefit him in terms of coming back? Like if you're an Olympian and all that goes with that, do you want to come back? And I could see it. But, yeah, yeah. For Penn State, they're going to want – I mean, really the only thing that can make this team race interesting is something like Carter and Greg not coming back next year. And even still
– I don't even think that makes it interesting.
It makes it closer. I mean, it's 50 points.
But who would be the next – I said who's like – who's the obvious number two next year? Because Michigan lost almost all their guys.
I think Iowa.
Iowa lost a bunch of their points. Cornell is losing Vito, but maybe Vito and Cardenas. So that's a bunch of their points. Like, is it like a Virginia Tech or something? I haven't even kind of looked through to see who has the most points coming back.
Iowa is going to be the number two team next year. They're going to have Drake.
Really, even though they lose Frannick and Woods?
Yeah. They
okay.
Their back half, I think, is going to be really tough. Because
tell me.
All right, so Drake's back, returning finalist. 33, don't know.
Yep.
41 and 49 are maybe a little more like Ryder Block, you figure in there. Not as sure on 41, 49. But 57, probably Caliendo or someone like that, he could cut down.
Caliendo's going down?
He certified at 57, as did Kennedy. So I think one of them go down. I think Kennedy goes 65. Gabe Arnold, then 84. You know, is there an opportunity? Is Nelson? Nelson's back. Glazier's back. And then if they use Keeter, I think that's probably the.
Is that a number two team?
I don't know if that's a number two team, Christian.
Maybe not. It could be. I mean, and here's the thing, Virginia Tech loses Makai, but they add Wolak because he's transferring in. So.
And 74 thins out a lot.
Right. But they lose Bryce Andonian. He's gone.
Yep.
They'll be good. Add Jim Mullen, add Sonny Sasso potentially to replace Andy Smith and Katka. Flynn's back. Latona could be back.
You could?
Which is crazy. Crook's back. I'm wondering if Duhinson, Crook slide up to 49-57. I think they're both big. Crook's for sure big, and I'm pretty sure Henson's big. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if those guys
moved when we up. Were in Virginia Tech, Henson said he was willing to do an All-Star. He wanted to wrestle in the All-Star Classic super bad. He was like, 49-57, I don't care. So I feel like he can wrestle a 57, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
Henson qualified for Olympic trials. Can he make 65?
Maybe. It'd be tough. And, like, at what cost? Just go in big, Caleb. You're allowed to go 74. There's no laws against it. Just add to the chaos. I would like that.
Man, he could. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he can't make 65. I'll just shut up.
143 is.
Yeah, I don't know if he can make it. That's
five and a half. It's not like it's the day, but it's 2 hour weigh-in.
Does he have a legitimate shot at 65, though?
If you're going to go, we might as well. No. Go at a weight that you.
Although
he has a way higher chance
Gomez,
at 65.
Gomez than, beat Nick Lee, so maybe he does have a
shot.
So
I'm saying he kind of.
He has a way higher chance at 65 than he does at 74.
Well, yeah.
So it's not a favorite, but like he's got a shot at 65, 74. Come on, son, you're not making it.
No, I think he's ready to be dead.
I would love to see him at 65.
He would be knocking on death's door, though.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
He would.
You hate Caleb Henson.
He would probably look great at 57.
57 kilos?
That's one of those things like.
You just go all the way down.
Yeah. You achieve one of your huge goals and then the season's over and you're like, do I want to cut all that weight? Nah, I don't think so.
We'll see. He's kind of crazy.
He is nuts.
A little bit.
In an awesome way.
In a very awesome way. Okay.
Cornell, I'll say. Iowa State's going to be good next year. That's a team right there because they have some other guys. Pinheiro wasn't in the lineup and could be next year. Younger's back. Etchemendi is back. Chinnam Suderski.
Because I can't get this thing right.
Oh.
There's a lot of guys that are – I mean, Iowa State's going to be good next year for sure.
What are they going to do with the Etchemendi? They've got like four guys for 2-8s. They've got Etchemendi says he's not going 41 anymore. Swiderski.
Dressler's going to let him win the 49 and wrestle off.
Let me tell them what it is. They've got – they don't know what I'm talking about. They've got Swiderski. They've got Etchemendi. They've got Chittum. They've got Pinero Johnson that are all 49-57s, according to Etchemendi. So I don't know how they're going to – someone's going to have to get small or they have redshirt flexibility, but it's like you don't want to redshirt Casey Swiderski after he just gets on the podium. Like he's wrestling well. He doesn't seem like a guy that probably wants to redshirt. So I don't know how they solve that.
You can redshirt Chittum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could redshirt Chittum and wrestle Pinero. But you almost have to redshirt Chittum and Swiderski to get Etchemendi and...
Yeah.
Look, here's what I think is going to happen.
Pinero.
Similar to this year, Dressler's going to let him wrestle off at 49, win the wrestle off, and then say, come here, Anthony. Buddy. We need you at 41 for the team.
Remember all that allegiance you said you had to us and your devotion to Iowa State? Was that just for 1 year, or can we do it one more time?
Now's when you prove it.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Which of the point stores from Arizona State are back? Are they all back?
I think Ja'Cory's back.
So
for sure, Figs.
Figueroa, Parco, Teamer, and Schultz.
Parco's
are the four
gone.
Big point scorers. Parco's gone.
Parco, okay. Is Schultz gone? Or is he one more
year? Schultz has another year, I'm pretty
That's
sure.
Nuts. Wait, how?
Oh, my God.
Just
it's
don't
so ridiculous.
Ask. It's a Greco thing. I don't know. No, he just has.
Did he take an Olympic record at one point?
At one point, yeah.
2020 didn't count. He redshirted 2020. No, 2020 redshirted just normal, and then 2021 doesn't count. So he's had four NCAA tournaments, but he has one more.
Yeah, all these people that...
He's one of those.
Yeah, one of those. So yeah, four-time Arizona State All-American. is going
to
be good.
Five.
Yeah, he'll have the opportunity to be a five-time place winner.
Mm-hmm.
What's Missouri's plan next year, Benjamin?
We're going hard in the portal.
Are you? You missed on Hamadale,
yeah,
right?
We get.
Did you know he went in the portal?
We didn't. They didn't want. We're gonna get McGonagall, Wyatt Hendrickson. We can get all of them.
Wyatt Hendrickson. So he's interesting because he can't wrestle for Air Force.
He's got
year.
Another year. We talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we talk about it on the show?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my recollection is that we did talk about him having another year. But, you know, the best way to serve his country is to go entertain us wrestling fans. So he needs to wrestle another year.
I kind of remember that line.
Look.
Yes.
I'm just saying I didn't pay for his college for him to go be a Michigan mercenary.
That's true.
For a year.
Yep.
That's a good point.
You guys got to quit it with this mercenary.
Well, they are mercenaries.
It's such a good name.
It's alliteration.
Just lean into it.
Yeah.
Man. Transfer recruiting is recruiting.
Did they do it for no money?
I don't know.
Me either.
I think White has to go overseas unless he goes to an Iowa school.
Oh, really?
That's what I say.
Man, can you imagine?
Shut up, JD.
That'd be wild. It does. I hope he goes to. Yeah, I don't know where I want.
You have a duty to your country.
What if he just transfers to Navy?
I'll allow that. Although I'm not sure the Air Force would.
Yeah.
What is the protocol with that? Like the Air Force allowing him to.
It's, I don't know. I was talking to one of the coaches about it. They're like, it's not like a guarantee. Like he has to go through an approval process with the Air Force.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's one of those things where it hasn't really been done before because athletes have 4 years of eligibility. They have 4 years to finish school. They're not allowed anymore at the Ivies or in the armed forces.
Yeah.
But now these guys are all getting this extra year because 2021 didn't count. So they're all like, you know, Cardenas is leaving. Wyatt Henderson wants another year because he's got eligibility where they didn't have that before.
Yeah.
Why? I told Seth Mendoza this too, but Nebraska Kearney has an aviation program.
Oh, wow. Be a D2 legend. Follow Travell Delagna's footsteps.
You want to be an Olympic medalist? There's a precedent.
We saw the video.
Oh, don't give me. Why you have to bring that up?
Now we can go fly real planes.
I saw the video. I got you guys a video, Chris. Yeah.
That was just Sam Barber talking.
Doesn't Missouri also have a great aviation program? Isn't
no.
that why Seth Mendoza?
No.
Yes,
no.
Of course we do.
No.
Honestly, I feel like they all have good aviation programs because no planes really crash. It's kind of great.
That's a good point, yep. dude.
Dang right.
You know what? Which is good.
Tell that to the former CEO of Boeing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what... Oh, God. What is happening with Boeing?
We don't need to go into that on this show.
Oh, is it bad? Why? Is it Illuminati?
You're going to get got.
What
you don't
do you
know
mean?
About this? So they had a whistleblower who...
Blow the whistle.
Well, he can no longer blow the whistle because he allegedly killed himself the day before he was supposed to testify against Boeing.
That's normal.
Allegedly.
Huh. What?
That's real. Look it up.
Okay. Well, but their planes are doing fine.
No, they got doors flying off and stuff. Bolts coming off.
A gray plane.
There was that one where the wheel came off, right?
Yeah.
One of those.
They're having issues.
Well, they're all taking off and landing as far as I can tell, which is my main plane criteria.
Yeah, except sometimes their doors fly off mid-flight.
Things happen. I mean, think how many flights happen a day. One door is going to fall off. I'm in the pocket of big airplane. Yes. I'm on their side.
You would.
All right. Boeing. All right. Maybe they'll sponsor you know what? Maybe Boeing wants to sponsor FRL. Maybe I'm trying to keep that door open. That's the door I'm keeping open, JD.
Okay.
Not the one in the air. The one that, because I'd love to see you in some like Boeing clogs.
All right, off the Boeing talk. You didn't even bring up TJ Stewart when we talked about points that Virginia Tech's coming back.
Oh, yeah. Big TJ. He could win 184. Yeah. This guy's a beast. Mm-hmm.
Well, Parker Kekkonen's back. So
oh, yeah. He ain't beating him. That's not allowed.
Yeah.
It's not allowed.
I forgot about him.
We just posted the
man.
Hey,
let's talk about Hodge. We didn't talk about Hodge. Is it so obvious that it's Aaron Brooks?
It is
not to a lot of people. A lot of people want to give it to Parker. Your
wrestling
boy.
Wrestling Twitter is trying to galvanize a movement here, but it's not going to happen.
They're trying to stand up for the little man, the small man,
the little man who's a monster. I mean Parker in many years would have a great case. He has a great case for this year. Honestly, I don't think he's not as dominant as Aaron. He doesn't. I'm kind of old school Hodge. Like for whatever reason, they took pins out of it. I think pins. Should be a part of it. Pins and techs.
So it goes into your dominance criteria.
I know, but a major is by definition not as good as a pin.
But I'm also saying, like, the more pins you get, right, the higher your dominance score is going to be.
Yeah, true.
Are they still doing the fan vote?
Yes, they get that counts for like five.
That's one vote. Oh, it's five?
Five.
Wasn't it like 10 last year?
It's five, I think. I just think I'm not a big well, I also really like that Aaron beat, I think, the best guy to win. Like, that's more like quality of competition.
Highly, man.
Yeah. 197 was a much better weight, and and Trent Hiley was a much tougher opponent than anyone Parker beat. Also, Trent Hiley beat Parker Kekkonen last year. Not that that should really matter, but it
Parker
is.
Parker did beat him, though.
And he did.
Ben's going to split the vote again.
He pinned him in a cradle. Yeah, he probably is.
Yeah, you know, I mean, one of the things is that, and obviously I would prefer for Parker to win. I just don't think it's in the cards, but he'll have a great chance next year, is that Aaron's beat him, you know, multiple times in their college career. So that's kind of like another feather in the cap.
Yeah.
So here's the statistics from Win Magazine. Bonus percentage for Brooks is 90.9%, 6 pins, 11 techs, 3 majors, 22-0. Parker, 31-0 with a 90.3 bonus rate, 2 pins, 12 techs, 14 majors. So if you're arguing for Parker, you're saying 90.3 to 90.9 is basically the same bonus percentage, but he has more matches.
Like 10 more, huh?
Yeah, nine. He wrestled more matches. I like factoring in schedule and competing, mm-hmm. but I take, you know, did Aaron Brooks wrestle his schedule? Yes, with the exception of, I think, one duel. He did.
Yeah, and that duel was against Michael Beard, where that might not have been a bonus point.
That is possible.
But I also, this doesn't factor in All-Star, where Aaron bonus Tanner Sloan, returned NCAA finalist, and Parker had a very close match with Bernie Truex.
Very close.
So the only match I believe Aaron didn't have a bonus point in was the NCAA final with Trent, where he won by 7 points.
Glacier.
You're right. The Glacier.
Glacier.
Duel. You're right. You're right. And the Big Ten final.
I think he.
He majored in the Big Ten.
He majored in the Big Ten finals. He also was never trailing.
Yeah, I didn't tech
at any point. This
that's kind of a wild stat.
This season,
I don't think he ever gave up a takedown either.
Probably not if he was never trailing. But it's so crazy he was never even tied 0-0 or 3-3 going into the second, and the other guy got choice and escaped first.
Yeah. No, I think he's the best wrestler in college, right? I think he was the best wrestler this year.
Yeah.
And as great as Parker, mm-hmm. I mean, Parker will be the odds-on favorite probably to win it next year. Then again, Keegan goes up, but does Carter Storace come back? But if Parker has another year like this, he'll be tough to deny. But we don't know who's coming back. And
is he like the second most dominant four-timer behind Kale?
Is it Aaron?
Yeah.
Probably. I mean,
no. Logan Stieber was insanely dominant. Logan Stieber was for sure.
But who had more losses? So Aaron was 89, finished 89-3, including all seasons.
Logan lost to Dardanes. He lost to J.O. He lost to
Rutherford.
Logan Stieber. Zane. Oh, they only have 2 years of wrestle stats.
He concluded his Buckeye career with an overall record of 119-3.
Yeah. And for,
no, they cheat, though. They didn't count his first three losses.
Well, that
why not?
They were a redshirt year. Of course they don't.
No, well, he wrestled at CKLV, and then he redshirted after that.
Yeah. It's a redshirt year.
You can't, but that's...
I feel like that counts as a redshirt year.
It was. It's not like, it's not debatable. That was a redshirt year. There's a reason he won four NCAA titles.
Well, I mean, I don't know what's a Christian. In 2013, you couldn't actually wrestle in attached competition and redshirt once you did it once, but... I don't remember how they got treated.
Because wasn't he going to go and then got injured?
It was a medical. Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, so do we count Brooks' loss his true freshman year then?
He was... I mean,
he lost his true freshman
year.
He
literally won Big Tens.
Yeah,
it's
but
not like...
Do we count his loss that year? Do we only count his losses out of 4 years?
He lost to Vince.
Yeah, that is true. It's kind of wild how his bonus point rate went up because he went from 43, which is not very good at all, 43 to 50 to 63 to 66 to 90 his last year.
Yeah.
So he did go up a lot.
Logan was insanely high for all 4 years. It's not a question that he was more dominant.
Correct.
He was teching and pinning. Look at some of his NCAA brackets.
So, I feel like we had this question a little bit. Someone said, should you count bonus points? Maybe it wasn't on the show, maybe it was somewhere else. Should you count bonus points as a percentage of wins or percentage of total matches? And I think the most obvious thing to say here is if you have more losses, you're less dominant because you lost more times. Therefore, 100%. You have the inability to be dominant.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know.
Logan wrestled, 40 more matches?
Yeah, a lot more.
Yeah.
Like 35 more.
Yeah. So that factors in as well.
Logan Stieber, one of the more underappreciated college
players. Totally.
It was kind of wild because he also won a world title, but
it was during the Olympic
whatever
year.
Reason, he kind of, not Olympic weight, but I mean, that's a world title.
Yeah, yeah.
61 especially.
It was a tough bracket.
Yes.
Very tough bracket. Yeah, yes. Logan super 100%. Slept on. It was during it was kind of like early Penn State dominance. They're getting a ton of ton of the spotlight was going there, but they did win a title for a team title there as well. Logan's super, super slept on career.
Yeah.
And crazy, it's crazy how just even the fact that it's like I had to debate that he was more dominant than Aaron Brooks shows that people do not remember how insanely dominant this guy was.
Well,
four years.
But I put my clarity on what dominance is. If you lost more times, you can't be more dominant.
He didn't really lose. I mean, did he lose more? Because look at on a percentage basis, he didn't.
Yeah. Well, yes. If you count the Vegas losses, then yes, he did. And if you don't, then no, he didn't.
Well, yeah, we don't count.
Some people.
Cale Sanderson's a four-time undefeated national champion.
That's the thing is, but he wasn't redshirting. He wasn't redshirting at the time, and then took an injury after the fact. I always found that to be funny.
Yeah.
Some people are calling like, for us. And, I think this is,
didn't count.
I think this is an idea for a future FRL to rank the four timers.
Me and Kozak were kind of doing it on the watch party off the top of our heads. Not
Kozak is in the chat saying to do it.
Not going back and actually looking at stats and stuff like that. But I mean, obviously Cale won. Then
that's where we're doing it.
That's where I disagree.
That's where.
Yeah, I got to cut you off there, JD.
Take two.
Hey, Jason Bryan says he was attached. Those losses count. He did take a medical hardship, and he said Jordan Burroughs lost to Steve Brown counts when he medical redshirted that year. So, I think he's whatever in six, not whatever in three.
He's not the arbiter. He's not the determiner.
No,
though
no,
he may,
Jason
though,
Bryant,
though he may appoint himself as such, it doesn't. That's not a criteria.
He is knows more facts than you.
I'm also saying it doesn't count. So,
well,
see how I did that.
You can't just make up your own rules.
Well,
here.
That's what Jason
you can't make up
did,
your own rules.
So I can make it.
Well, wait.
No,
so it was a medical hardship.
He rules.
He got a medical year.
Yes,
and so he was attached during those matches.
Yeah,
you cannot wrestle unattached.
Yes.
See KLV.
Yes.
Then
that's what I
those
said.
Losses count.
No.
They count. Tell Christian. Christian can't just make up his own rules.
Yeah, I can. Y'all are right now.
I think
live.
No,
y'all are doing it just as much as I am.
I think they count, but
no,
I will say this.
Are.
I don't know. I don't care. That.
Did Win Magazine not count Carter Starace's Big Ten losses because he got included in the Hodge vote, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I don't know. They included some people with losses
last
year. They included Yanni and Vito. In the Hodge race last year.
Yeah.
Not that crazy.
I mean, he won his fourth title. He can be a nominee. And they also put the little caveat there, like his two losses were injury defaults at Big Tens. Mm-hmm.
But we can all agree he shouldn't win Hodge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone pretty much agrees that Aaron Brooks should get the Hodge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
No doubt.
No, people saying Parker.
I would not want to rank, the four timers. Because I have some of the numbers off the top, but like Pat Smith, I don't know his exact record. And like
he beat the GOAT of wrestling for his fourth title.
Who?
Sean Bormatt.
Who, Sean Bormatt?
He is the GOAT. Everyone does know that.
No, we need to go through and look at numbers and season records and dominant scores before I can really make an argument on ranking the four timers. But I think
let me just do it off the rip, just not knowing anything.
All right, do it.
All right.
All right, hold on. This is for social media. Christian.
No, I'm not doing it now. I'm not doing it now.
Yes.
You just ruined
it. Do it.
No, that's it.
Don't be a coward.
No, I'm not doing it. You do it then. You do it, Ben.
Coward. All right, I'll go. I don't care. I'm not a weakling. Cale, Dake, Brooks.
Wow.
Now.
Don't interrupt him.
Steber. Hold on. I got to finish. Steber. I'm even going to forget one. Steber.
Steber three times now.
Ooh, Yanni, Pat Smith. I'm putting Carter in front of Yanni. Carter, Yanni, Pat Smith. Boom.
Carter in front of Yanni. I don't know about that.
Why? Yanni, I mean, here's what I'm weighing against Yanni, and I'm a big Yanni fan. Yanni lost his senior year to
so did Carter.
Austin Gomez. And... Oh, Carter did not actually lose his senior year. Shut up, JD. He did not actually lose a match. He did not get beat in a wrestling match. Did not happen. No one beat him.
We'll never know what could have happened at Big Ten if he actually wrestled,
stop.
Though.
You're being so dumb right now. He didn't lose a wrestling match.
He didn't compete.
Yanni almost lost to Max Murin. No one almost beat Carter Starace even while he was injured.
Yeah.
Yanni also won a title on a potentially torn ACL.
That is true.
Not potentially, true. Actually torn.
Well, so that's why I said. I said also because I don't know if Carter's is actually torn.
Oh. Oh, okay, yeah. Ooh. We don't know. Got I can't it. Believe...
no comment.
Kasenik asked Carter if he had a torn ACL.
Yeah, right there on the that was his best question of the night.
What did he say? I didn't hear.
He goes, no. He said no comment.
He just said, is that a torn ACL? Maybe.
Kozak disagrees with you, Ben. He says Brooks can't go that high. He had 5 years.
That's what I was going to say, too.
No, because he might have won that first year anyway, so I'm not counting that against him because he just didn't have the opportunity to compete at the national championship that year. So, Kozak, you're wrong. Take that.
That might be one of the – I don't usually go against Kozak, but I might agree with you on that one.
Yeah. I don't hold it against him, but –
Definitely could have won that year.
Definitely could have, but we'll never know. It's still something I think has to be brought into the argument.
So we don't actually know if he would have won or lost that year.
Did you put Pat Smith last, Ben?
Yes.
Wow.
Is that I feel like that's because of lack of. Like,
I don't actually think
career.
He was.
That's
super
why I don't want to do it. Yeah. That is literally why I don't want to do it because Pat Smith.
But
I knew Pat.
I don't think he was super
last.
Dominant, and I think he has as many or more losses than anyone. And that's just my right, and I don't know for sure. But
does he deserve a bump for being the first one though?
That's what I was saying.
Ooh. Like he did tech fall Joe Williams also.
That's pretty impressive.
And as everyone knows who watched the Iowa Oklahoma State. The most incredible humble brag of all time.
They used to have ties in wrestling.
Yes.
Yes. And it would go to an official decision.
Pat Smith's record was 121-5-2.
Yes, two ties.
Two ties. Yeah.
There is something to be said for being the first one to do it. Like you look at anything that's done the first time and then it happens many more times after that. The four-minute
mile. Put your rankings wherever you want. I was the man. I was the man in the arena. I was the one who did it. You guys were cowards. Wouldn't put your list together. I did it first.
I was in the process of making my list.
Did he? And also, am I remembering correctly? I think Pat didn't redshirt, or at least he won as a true freshman. I feel like that's true.
You should get a bump for that, too.
That's super bumpy.
And then redshirted later.
You should get a bump for doing it as a true freshman.
Also, Yanni won an insane weight his freshman year. He had to beat a two-time champ in the quarters, and he had to come back to do it with the torn ACL. And then he beat Jaden, then he beat McKenna. McKenna's one of the best to never win it. Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm, says Ben.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Make
next,
your list. Stop being a coward.
Move it around. All right, what's next?
Hey, I was looking at – no, I'm still looking at teams that could be good next year. You know who – I'm almost shocked that you didn't bring up – Christian, the Ohio State Buckeyes, very young. Jesse Mendez has multiple years of eligibility left. Buzakis obviously was a freshman. Welsh was a freshman. Rogotsky was a freshman. Feldman was a freshman. So, I don't know who else they can plug in here, but there's a lot of good guys coming back.
It's interesting you brought up how young the Bucks are.
Wow.
Ben, because we do have a documentary series on them called Young Bucks. If you haven't seen it, check it out. We followed a lot of these guys' freshman season.
Pretty sure D'Amelio comes back, too.
No way.
I think he has one more year.
What? There's no way.
No.
There's no way he's coming
That's
back.
I'm drawing on that. I don't know why, but I'm drawing the line with Dylan D'Amelio. There's no reason.
I think
There's
he has
no
one
reason.
More year.
I'll look it up.
I'm looking it up right now, JD.
Thanks, Ben.
JD's
he
right.
has one more year for sure, yeah.
He's back. Yep.
His first year was 2021.
Yes. Oh my gosh!
His redshirt freshman year was
2021. Well, he redshirted the year before that, so he redshirted.
Oh wow!
Doesn't count 3 years.
He was a 2020 redshirt.
He's back,
smart man. Yeah. Okay, so he's back, and man, I don't know. Sasso, could he be back?
Ooh, there you go. Is Sasso coming back?
I don't know.
I don't think it's realistic, personally.
I don't think you can pencil it in.
Really?
You hope, you pray.
Yes, literally. Definitely do. Imagine, dude, their team would have been really sick if they had him.
Yes.
Think what he could have done at 57. Like, you know, I don't think he's beaten Levi, but could have been a finalist for sure. Add like 18 points to Ohio State. Where does that put him?
Yeah.
Let me consult the old.
I'm kind of surprised they also didn't wrestle Kilkeary, because Kilkeary, you know, well, I'll say it, he beat Brandon Davis in that one match. I know his other results weren't that good, but sometimes as a freshman, you have some of those not as good results, and then you can kind of put it together as the season goes on. It would be interesting to see him in the lineup.
Ohio State's for sure second if Sasso wrestles, like by like eight-ish points probably. So yeah, that was a bad deal.
I think Nebraska returns a bunch of guys too.
Yeah, they lose.
Really? I was looking at them. I thought they were done.
No, they lost Rob. They lost.
Okay. Hardy's got to be done, right?
No, Hardy's got to be done. Hardy has like 2 more years.
Yeah.
How does Hardy have no?
Yeah,
stop.
Because he
Caleb Smith's got to be done.
Hardy started his college career very Smith's old.
Back.
What? Stop, you guys! This is ridiculous.
I think Hardy's freshman year, he was like 22 or something, right?
Probably just 19 or 20.
Yeah, he took a 2 year mission.
So maybe he was 20, 21. Yeah,
Smith's got another year. You guys are right. Jeez Louise! Oh my gosh.
33. Yeah. Van D's back.
Pinto is pretty solid. He was round 12 this year, but could definitely be an All-American.
Allred's back.
Allred's back.
Wow, Hardy, you're right. Hardy has, oh my God, how does this man have 2 years left?
So they only lose P Rob. And I think
Ridge. Right. Wow.
No.
Oh, they don't lose P Rob?
Ridge has got another year.
Ridge has another year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Antrell's going down also to 57.
Oh, wait, and Antrell, we didn't
57?
Even say.
Yep.
Well, he's a freshman, yeah.
He's small, too. I didn't even kind of realize it. Then watch him live at a tournament, you're like, yeah, you could see how he could go down for sure.
Wow.
He's tough. Yeah, Nebraska's going to be good.
Yeah.
A lot of good teams. Okay.
Dang, crazy.
What were we doing?
We weren't really doing anything.
We're just talking about things. Talking about we're just some guys talking about some wrestling.
Yeah.
That's all we are right now.
Just guy stuff right now.
How does Cornell look next year?
Well, they return Myers back.
You think Knox will wrestle his true freshman year?
He's a senior this year?
No, he's a junior, so I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
He's skipping.
So they'll bring back Unger, Cornella, Fernandez, Meyer,
Julian.
I don't know about
Benny Baker.
I don't know about Baker. Foca.
Foca's back.
Foca, no Cardenas. I don't think Fernandez comes back. I think he's done, but I could be wrong. There. So yeah. I don't know. They lose a good amount of points with Vito and Cardenas.
It's gonna be tough. Also, the odds that you get second place with 72 points is not high.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? With Penn State as dominant as they are, could just be the path now.
Well, it's not really as much about Penn State's dominance. It's just there's so much parity beyond them, which is sort of rare.
That's what it is right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really strange that you would have like 8 teams that are all. I mean, NC State got 11th, and they were seeded to get second by a lot, by like 20 points.
One of the things where I was thinking about, like, even Michigan State is weak, you know, say if they got another good coach in there, or you know, like if there's some of these bottom programs, if they were elevated, it would still take even points away from that other group, right? So you'd have kind of more parity and everyone would like slide down.
Yeah.
Is there any time in the near future where it's not like this, where a team can actually even make it somewhat of a conversation with Penn State, like Ohio State in 18. 3 years? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe Ohio State.
You can.
It feels like it's going to be a while, actually, because you look at their recruiting class next year and it's just totally insane. I've actually pulled up the recruiting rankings, but this is pound for pound. They have number 1, number 5, number 6, number 10, number 13, and number 21.
Sheesh.
Like, come on.
This is Penn State?
So ridiculous. Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be – obviously, it'll be tough. But in wrestling, it's actually – it doesn't take as many – it's not like a full – if you have, like, a good team and then you can get 3-ish guys that are really, truly title contenders that can win, it can get interesting. But if Penn State's going to put 6 and 5 in the finals every year, it's sort of prohibitive. Yeah. But what the advantage that like that Ohio State team had in 18 was that Penn State wasn't really bringing 10 studs to the table like they did this year. And so that's a new sort of dynamic that the nation's dealing with. It's like, used to be there was like one or two weights where Penn State didn't qualify, or they were like sort of fringe qualifier types. Now it's, now their bad performance was a one seed not placing. So it's just different now.
Woof.
Bow wow.
So, hey, Kristen, someone paid me to say that you're wrong, that you thought Trent was going to beat Brooks.
I never, ever once said that Trent was going to beat Brooks. People are.
I try to hold Christian to himself being wrong at times, like when he sold stock on certain athletes.
That was a lie.
We won't bring up now.
I couldn't believe it. They're the best.
He never said Trent.
The funny thing about this message, it's from Titans fan. He paid $5 to have us bring this up. He said, Tyler, make Homer Piles admit he was wrong to hint he thought Trent would win. And I think it's funny to call Christian a homer when it's about an NC State guy, when Christian is a Virginia Tech guy.
Virginia Tech guy.
Everyone's known this. So
I'm friends funny. With John Brooks. But yeah, I'm a Hidley homer. That all makes sense. That's good. You connected the dots well there.
I think just saying it was a thing.
I think, yeah, I think everyone was going into that tournament saying it was a thing, and then Brooks just looked like an
And it wasn't a thing, actually. I was actually wrong.
Yeah.
Wasn't even a thing.
Which is why you should win the Hodge.
Mm-hmm. We have 30 minutes left of the show. Do you guys want to dip into some questions?
Let's dip in dots.
I want to brag about Wisconsin by the number. We didn't even do the by the numbers.
Well, I was actually about to read a question from Spey. He included a screenshot from his by the numbers article.
Oh, of his own by the numbers
of his own article. Yes, it says thoughts on Wisconsin going from afterthought to powerhouse as far as producing NCAA talent. Below is a graph of NCAA points by home state. No bonus. Sorry, Ben. Blah blah blah. I don't know if
no bonus.
Tyler, put this on a graphic. Me just
I'm gonna email this graphic
here, like,
to Nikki and see if he can pull it up on the screen.
Who is that big heavyweight that raised the rough? And then
Grimmel. Like, Brandon Grimmel.
He might have raised the rough too early.
He said
DK. That was the best.
He calls it rough, not roof.
That was one of the an all time Kevin Dresser line when he said that G Grimmel. That you got all time. He's like, you got a guy raising the rough halfway through the match. That was so funny because like there was like the second period and G Grimm was raising the roof, and then I think he kind of almost blew the match.
Almost. That's why Dresser called him.
I
out.
Think so.
Yeah,
he won though.
He won.
Legend.
If you raise the roof, you got to go pin him, right? You can't just let him off.
That's
hook.
A good point too.
listen to this.
So
NC points per state by era. This is an interesting stat from Spay. So your 2017 to 2019 grads, Wisconsin averaged 2. 2021 to 2023 grads, Wisconsin averaged 47 points. And then 2024, 79 points.
That's a raise the rough stat.
This is
we went from 2 to 79. Pennsylvania, we're coming.
Kinda. It's not even silly to say. Now how
you whoop them in per capita.
They have many more cabinets.
They got too many people.
Way
not
too many cabinets.
Cut that state in half.
You already know, though, NCAA really, points by per capita, who's bringing that title home. You already know.
And Iowa do good?
Yeah, they beat Wisconsin.
Yes, they're number one.
24.2 points per, I assume, what is?
In all fairness, though, Janie, it's not a real fair category because you know how they should really do it? And this pet, we would punish Pennsylvania. So could Spay, can you really do this? No. Number of Division I starting spots divided by the amount of home state points. Because, you know, it's not really fair. Iowa has 30 starting spots. A decent portion of them are Iowa wrestlers, right? So you're getting 30 starting spots for your state, and they're all pretty solid teams. Wisconsin gets 10, and they're, you know, they're an all right team.
Well, you get all those D2 and D3 30, points.
20 more.
Bump one of them schools up. We got Northern Iowa. Their only Division I sport is wrestling. I don't know.
We should do that.
Bump up some of your schools.
I'll talk to the NCAA.
I think a better way to look at it instead of per capita is just like per how many wrestlers that
I did that in pre the by the numbers pre.
Alaska wins.
And Alaska beat Iowa. They got brothers. That doesn't count.
That's funny.
No, that was per normal capita.
Yeah.
they might beat them in per 1,000 participants, too.
Because that's more relevant.
Penn State was back to – not Penn State. Pennsylvania was number one in qualifiers per 1,000 participants.
You think they have, you know, cities like Philadelphia, but like for New York, they have New York City, and there's so few wrestlers in New York City, but it's like 10 million people or whatever.
Still a large pool to take from.
It's their problem. They can't figure out how to make them wrestle.
And that's why it's Wisconsin's problem. They ain't got more colleges.
Boom.
More college spots.
Yeah.
We have the graphic that Spey tweeted, sent us. It's it kind of just shows Wisconsin going from like no scoring no points to oh nope, that's not it. Never mind.
Wrong graphic.
No I sent points, them the wrong one. Points.
And our senior class this year is significantly better than say the large scoring points around Parker and Keegan. Mitchell. Our senior class now is significantly better than when they were older. Yeah, Parker, Keegan, Mitchell.
Yeah.
The three main scorers.
Yeah.
Although we had Eric Barnett, All-American, and we had Stephen Buchanan, All-American. So five All-Americans, and all of whom placed top four, I think, and almost all of whom who scored a high amount of bonus. Like, probably think Parker had 7 bonus, Keegan had 7.5. Cameron Mitchell had a lot. Buchanan actually had a lot, too, and Barnett.
Do you feel like, with those three, Parker, Keegan, and Mitchell – a lot of points, obviously. Do you see another generation of that coming into NCAA from Wisconsin?
Yeah, of course.
Who's going to do it?
Mirasola, Sinclair, Millard, our senior classes, and then obviously those are our guys. And there's a few more that are.
How many crash train guys
you would have? Who do they have right now? Well, they had 3 NCAA qualifiers. So they had Joels. They had Renner, and they had, oh my gosh, there's one guy I'm forgetting about. Oh, Buchanan.
Crushing.
I think he's got some pretty tough guys going to Minnesota, if I remember correctly.
Nice.
Coy Hopke was the other one in our class of 2024 who's very highly ranked, who's he goes to Pinnacle/Gopher RTC.
Minnesota had a really strong year considering all the tumult. And all the departures.
Yes.
They lost Spratly, Jameson, Nagao. They had lost Ramos years ago. They lost they lost some upperweight guys, right?
Cleaver.
Brayton Lee. Who?
Cleaver, the Hofstra heavyweight.
Cleaver.
Oh, I said Teamer. I was like, okay. What? Yeah,
of course.
Keaton Cleaver, you can't forget that.
Which is why they did not do well in that transfer article I did points gained in the portal minus points lost.
Oof.
In the portal.
Bro. It could have been way worse, too, because, like, Spratly DMP'd and Jameson.
Mm-hmm.
Ramos. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They did a great job this year.
I will say I was corrected. UNI Sports are D1.
Wow.
Except football. I don't count FCS as D1, even though it's D1A.
I thought they were one, like, double A or whatever.
Yeah.
that thing.
I never even understood that. I know what it is, so you don't have to explain it to me.
I also don't understand.
It's like, wait, there's Division 1, and then there's, like, not Division 1 football and FCS. Like, just make it all the same thing.
Yeah, because all schools have football. Or
JMU did that gimmick, because, like, JMU is, you know, it's near where I'm from, and they won the FCS thing, and that was, like, a big deal. I was like, I don't understand this. This is a Division 1 school. Why don't you beat Bama?
We have the
nerds.
We want Bama.
I got an email about Parko being eligible to come back next
year.
Oh,
my gosh. Really?
What?
That's what I got.
Check the numbers. I really thought he was.
Nah, there. I think he does.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Fresno State still scoring
so
points.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be good then.
2021 was his first year.
Yeah, redshirt.
He redshirted in 2020.
He's coming back. Coming back for that 5th All-American.
That's great.
Latona will be back. Shout out my guy Ethan.
Boom.
Ethan Nguigui.
Okay.
That's our homie. And then Jared Frayer is also listening.
Pronounce
too.
His name right.
Huh?
I don't think you ever pronounce Ethan's.
How do you say it?
Agui, I believe.
I think you're wrong.
Am I?
I think there's an extra GUI in there.
I don't think so.
Crap.
What's the Guatemalan pronunciation?
I guess I'd have to pull it up.
I don't think he's Guatemalan.
Yeah, he's from Guam.
From Guam. Right?
Guam.
Oh, wait. It's the Ethan fake news show.
Sorry, Ethan.
Yeah.
All right.
A-G-U-I-G-U-I.
Oh, I guess I'm wrong.
Whoa.
I'm the only...
H-G-G-Y.
I'm the only true Husky.
My brain just deleted half of his last name when I read it.
Yeah.
Okay. We have the Last Chance Olympic Qualifier coming up. Is that live on Flow?
Yeah, baby. Yes.
Live on Flow.
Me and Sweet Prince are going.
Hell
yeah. In Virginia.
I'm going. I'll be there.
Are you?
Yeah, because there's going to be some high schoolers there. That's what this question is about. Which high schoolers have the best shot at the Last Chance Open?
Whew.
So I actually compiled a list of high schoolers that will be there. At 57, there might be more, but I'm not.
Can I see this list?
It's in my docs. You want me to just read it to you?
Sure, read it. Let's go.
At 57, we got Nathan Desmond, Anthony Knox, Mason Gibson. At 65, we got...
Oh, Jax Forrest just entered.
Jax Forrest just entered.
Yeah.
Wow. Jax Forrest.
If he entered today, he will not be seated.
He entered yesterday.
I have a limited knowledge of high school wrestling, so I may have missed some names that I'm not familiar with.
That's
but
okay.
At 65, we got Pearson Manville and Bo Bassett. At 74, you got Joe Seeley. At 86, you got...
Wait. Bo Bassett at 65?
At 65.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay.
He just won a Pennsylvania State title at 138.
No, that's more, though.
Oh, okay.
It is. You're right, Christian. It is more.
That is more. Doing the math. He's doing the math on his phone. I see him. He's
no.
2.2046 times I.
No, Ethan's
143 minus 138.
Ethan's texting me right now. Also,
five. The answer's five.
Jared Freyer says that I think that Henson will go 65 kilograms in 2028.
Oh, so he's gonna go 65 also this year.
That doesn't sound like... he says 28. He did not say 24.
Okay, yeah, but I think that's him saying that he's 65 long term.
Well, he might not even compete.
It sounds like
this year.
Okay.
That I take that as he's not gonna...
he's not gonna go this
trials
year.
This year.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, can I finish my list of high schoolers, please?
Sorry. Allow it.
At 70, sorry, keep going. 74, I know three more that are coming.
74, you got Joe Seeley, 86, Aiden Sinclair, 97, Cole Mirasola.
Charlie Millard at 74 also is number two in the country.
Charlie Millard. Thank you, Ben.
He's famous for those of you Flow Grappling fans out there. He's the famous kid with the red shoes that led practice that was one of the main protagonists of the of that video.
Yeah, he beat up Trey.
Yeah. Everyone beat up Trey.
57 is the most interesting. It has the most high schoolers, and it also has some like really good, like senior level talent, or like pretty good guys. We got Brandon Courtney, All American.
Cool.
We got
Tomasello.
Yeah, where's Tomasello? I'm not even seeing him. Oh, here we go. We got Nathan Tomasello, NCAA champ. So, I don't know who out of 57. Who do you guys see? Of those high schoolers, who do you see?
Can we get the do we have the list of seeds yet? So I can, kind of like have a.
I don't know. If
not yet.
Top list.
Yeah. No seeds yet.
Damn.
So
like of Nathan Desmond, Anthony Knox, Mason Gibson, Jax Forrest, who do you guys see doing the best in that bracket?
I think Knox and Forrest, and then I think I would put Tomasello and Courtney maybe a step above them. I mean, I'm not saying they can't beat them, but a step above them for now.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I think it's fair.
Man, Knox, Forrest, when's the last time they wrestled?
I don't know if they ever have.
That's
I don't think they ever have.
Man, it feels like they should have.
David Bray would know.
He would not. Just kidding. He definitely knows. I guess they have.
What is Forrest with wrestling at? Because that feels really small for Forrest.
Isn't he a 126 guy?
He was 26 at points this year.
He was? Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that'll be interesting.
I'm not seeing that they've ever wrestled each other.
Nice. So it's, you got wide open Jax. I think it could be a decent matchup for Anthony. Like I feel like conventional, most people will pick Jax. She's just out there a little bit more, but I think it's way more of like a coin flip type of match.
I think my pick for high schooler to do the best, Mirasola, 97.
I think so, too, just because 97.
Mm-hmm. Jacob Warner's maybe is...
Oh, Warner's in there?
Oh, yeah, Warner's in.
Warner's really freaking good at freeze. Warner, man.
But you had a Mirasola knockoff a senior-level guy. You had a Mirasola knockoff a senior-level guy at Farrell.
Yeah. Who's the toughest guys for Sinclair at 86?
McIntosh, Taylor Lujan, Nelson Brands, David McFadden.
Oh.
Solid list.
Wait, guys, let's noticed that Pearson Manville is registered to wrestle Greco at Last Chance as well.
That maps.
At 67.
The Manvilles like Greco.
They love it.
And Joel Adams is also in the 67 kg bracket.
Yeah. Also maps.
Also a Greco guy.
Hey, yeah, he's going to Michigan next year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Are you going to support his Greco dreams?
I will support any Michigan man in any endeavors he endeavs upon.
That was a good sentence.
That was beautiful. And
wait,
well
isn't
said.
Joel Adams already out of high school? Isn't he already at Michigan?
I believe he gray-shirted.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And I don't know if he was in Ann Arbor or if he was like training at the OTC, but he took a gap year, basically.
Yeah. Hinson's too beat up for this year. I was told before NCAAs, he's like, yeah, serious injury. It's going to be tough for him in NCAAs. And then he won.
Beast.
Boom.
Absolute beast. Okay.
What is Aiden Sinclair's chances at 86? He's got some.
Like we just said.
He's going to bring the heat.
86 is pretty deep. 86.
Did you guys already talk about this?
Yeah, it's really deep. It's got McFadden, Lujan,
McIntosh,
a bunch of really good guys.
Connor qualified, and Aiden and Connor are pretty much same level, so I think Aiden has a solid chance to qualify.
Yeah. These high school kids are absolutely going to do really well. They're, like, going to beat senior-level guys for sure. I don't know if any of them punch through. I agree with JD. Mirasola is probably one of the better chances just because of the weight, and even still. Although, honestly, I'll say 57. I think 57 has one of the better chances. Because one, you got.
Well,
because
there's four of them also, not one of them.
Yeah. Desmond Freestyle, I know he just beat DeLuca at preps. Does he have big freestyle accolades? Like, is he Fargo champ?
Who's that?
Nate Desmond.
I think he did win Fargo 1 year. Maybe I'm misremembering.
Yeah. So he feels like one of those lightweights that kind of gets not discussed in the Jacks, Knox, like that whole group of hammers, but he's super high level. I don't think you can forget him. I mean, Leo DeLuca had Anthony Knox all but beat at who's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all but. And then Knox did what he does. So, yeah, I think.
Mm-hmm.
125 and 33 is going to be really fun NCAA-wise for the next, like, 6 years.
When they finally – yes. I mean, Jax is a sophomore. So we 3-4 years from now.
Twice in six.
They're going to be – yeah. I know, but we have to wait, like, 6 years before he even gets to college almost.
What if he just reclassifies?
I think they should reclassify, honestly.
I'm pretty sure he's old for his grade,
too. I mean,
that's
what I was thinking about, so – yeah, Aiden Sinclair and them are the same birth years. Aiden is born early in the year, so he's likely older than those guys. But, like, Aiden's kind of bored already. Like, I don't know what I'd do with him for 2 more years. Like, he would hate his life. You know what I'm saying? He's so good. There's so few guys who can actually go with him in the practice room. Like, I don't know what he would do for 2 more years. If he had 2 more years of high school, he would not be happy. He would be – I mean, he's kind of, like, bored a little bit this year. Like – I just don't know how he'd be satisfied for 2 more years.
Mm. Do you think he wants to wrestle right away, or do you want him to redshirt?
I think it makes most sense for him to redshirt, and I think, you know, he's young. He's he's just turned 18. He's going to graduate high school at 18. And, you know, I've advocated for – not that they listen to me, but I've advocated for Mitchell and Keegan to redshirt because – and I have been correct on this. Their rate of progress is relatively rapid. Like, they're getting better. And so I'm saying not redshirt and do nothing, but redshirt and compete. Go to open tournaments, go to freestyle tournaments, do that type of thing. I know Aiden has hopes of making a junior world team this year, which means he'll be competing in the junior worlds in, like, I think it's late August or early September. So I think he should redshirt. I think he's going to get better. He's getting better. He's so fast, like, picking stuff up. I went in yesterday and I thought I had 30 minutes extra and I said, hey, I want you to get this one thing down. And I thought it was going to take all of 30 minutes. Bro, it took like 2 minutes. It was like Like, I told him to do this. Just, I need you to do this a little differently. And it was like,
what was it?
He just had it. It was so fast. It was a little bit of gut wrench defense. So, the previous week we had done some parterre stuff. It was when I put that video of me. It was, we had a bunch of guys. It was me and Connor and him in a group. And I turned him in a gut wrench like every single time I got on top, you know? And he's actually really annoying after you turn him, like to hold him down. Like, so he would get some reversals on me and stuff, but I got to turn every single time, you know? And I kind of knew what he was doing wrong and I needed him to make a few adjustments in the way he was defending me. Dude, he made the adjustment. I couldn't turn him anymore. Like, I didn't get one turn on him after I got him to get it. And like I said, I thought it was going to take like 30 minutes. It took like 2 minutes. You know, it was crazy just to like how fast he picks things up.
Can he stop your high gut though? Your high gut.
He stopped
crazy.
My gut yesterday. Yes.
Really?
Yes. No, I got, yeah. And I, you know, we weren't going full live parterre and I'm sure we will soon. And so we'll see if I can get him. But like last week I said, I got him. He got some reversals after the fact, but I gut wrenched him every single time I was on top. And then yesterday I was the first at the beginning, I wasn't trying as hard as I could because I wanted him to have success with the technique, but then I ramped it up. And even when I was trying as hard as I could not get him.
Dang. Beast mode.
Yeah.
Now I really want to watch Aiden Sinclair at the last chance.
He's exciting.
I'm glad you're going. That's guys, awesome.
Like, yeah, it should be fun. I think he's really tough on top and he's really hard to score on. I'm excited to see how he does against these senior level guys. And I think he's excited for a challenge. And kind of like what I just said about these younger guys, these younger grade wise guys reclassifying. It's like, if Aiden had 2 more years of high school, there just really wouldn't be any challenges. He would be so bored. Like, he wouldn't know what to do with himself. And so I think he's really excited to get out here and get a challenge.
Especially if you're already beating college kids.
Yeah.
In opens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he do big opens? Time.
Jax?
No, Aiden? He's talking about Jax.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. My gosh. I mean, he could have won 125 this year. I'm sure he had common opponents.
Yes.
I think we can speed round a couple questions.
Okay.
If you guys are ready. Should the person who qualifies to wait for the Olympics get to sit out until the finals of trials? Feels like that would incentivize our best guys to go to the Pan Am qualifier.
It did. That was the case for
Greco.
In women, if there wasn't already somebody sitting out.
I kind of, do I like that? I think I do like that, actually.
I think I do, too.
I like most aspects of how we pick our team, but I like that tweak. I think you qualify the weight. Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Because if you place at Worlds, then you qualify it. Or if you take top five, what if you took fifth?
Well, that's my thing. I don't know why, but just in my soul, I don't want guys to go to Worlds and get fifth and then have a bye to the finals. But if we don't qualify the weight and someone goes and does it, and like in a hypothetical world, let's say Thomas Gilman wins the wrestle off and goes and qualifies the weight.
Yeah.
I like him sitting out. I don't know why that's different in my mind, but that's the way I like it. And it doesn't have to make sense.
I think I'm okay with it in either scenario that you mentioned.
Okay.
All right, moving on. What is the toughest bracket this year? You guys looked at this in 2020, but a lot of decisions were based on success following the tournament, and you guys said you wanted to avoid that. I don't know what the rest of this tweet
is. Which bracket?
What was the toughest bracket?
We're talking
this
about NCAAs or talking about trials?
NCAAs, sorry.
65?
Oh, 65 and
97. Well, 65, so it sort of depends.
Do you look at the top boss or 157 how deep
was
it goes? Deepest.
Yeah, 157 was crazy deep.
Well, but so deepest means the most amount of people who can win, but it doesn't mean that the top person's skill level is that much higher.
Yeah.
Right?
165, whereas, like, had I mean, some if crazy we go to people, that, not all American.
Yeah. Yeah, and if we go to people. But they also have the high end where the top three are really, really good. 97, you have the top two were really, really good, you know, with the top one, the final boss being, you know, going to be the best wrestler in college wrestling with the Hodge Trophy. And then you had some really good depth as well. So I think it's 65 and 97 are my two.
I really did think 97 was crazy, crazy deep as well. But man, 65, it's three national champion guys. Whether Mitchell is or isn't a national champion right now, it's like, that's a national champion. That's what they look like. That's how they wrestle. And it's an accomplishment he will have very soon. So, I kind of like the high end aspect of, yes, of 165, but it is not a very deep weight at all. I mean, look at these round of 12s. Ola Nick Hamady, Petruselli, Antrell Taylor, Hunter Garvin, Cam Amin, ouch, Hall, Ramirez. Like, I don't know. That's
crazy round of 12s.
I don't think it's crazy. I thought it was like.
Oh, you don't think that's.
I think it was deep 14 to like
seed,
10.
A 20 seed, a 10 seed.
No, you're talking about seeds, but like Hamady and Olenek is two All-Americans wrestling in the round of 12.
Yeah.
Yes. Garvin did not have a good year and took sixth.
That's true.
Garvin, he's very, very hot and cold.
Mm-hmm.
He got hot at the right moment.
Well, previously, I felt he was only cold. I was like, man, is this going to happen?
No, you watch his high school stuff. Like when he made the junior trials finals against Mitchell, for example. Like, right, he definitely does some good things at some times. He does some bad things. He's a big move guy. Yeah.
Iowa City West, stand up.
He did. Yeah. Cam did not want to be in those over-unders with him. He's very dangerous over upper body.
Very dangerous.
All right. Ryland trained. Shout out to the legend.
How good would Ed Ruth and DT be if their freshman year at Penn State was 2024? Point being, there's a wealth of experience and depth in the room now that wasn't there 10 years ago.
Oh, it'd be insane.
I disagree. I have a great answer to this. Ready, Christian?
Okay.
I don't know that they would be any different because there's two balancing factors here. So the number one, the one that obviously you mentioned, is how much more wealth of experience they have. Plus, there's a lot of really, really good guys around. But then on the other side is, well, back then, you got so much attention because there weren't all those guys. And that's kind of what I'm experiencing with AWA now. Like in the beginning, Keegan and a few others, they got so much attention because there weren't so many guys who wanted to be that good. Now there's so many guys who want to be that good, so it's harder for me to spread my attention to all of them. But then they have each other, right? They have a bunch of guys surrounding them who want to be really, really good, who are great resources, right? And so obviously mine is at the high school level. Theirs at the college international level. But while they have so many resources around them now, they had such a high degree of focused attention from coaches back then. And I think those are kind of like two things. When one goes one way, then the other goes the other way, and they kind of balance each other. And then, I mean, the other obvious is like, how much better could they really have gotten? And the answer is, well, not much. They were about as good as they could get.
That's a good point. They were about as high a level we've seen collegiately. You still put those two up against anyone else wrestling today, and you'd be like, yeah, they're as good, if not better.
The only thing that would have made him more dominant was 3-point.
Oh my god!
Takedown, 4-point near fall.
Yeah, bonus rate would have been nuts.
David's bonus rate. It's hard to even think about. Like I think the 3-point takedown would have made his bonus rate his freshman year like almost
close to 100.
Close to 100 because he had like a 7-1 win over Jesse Dong, and then he had like I don't even know if he majored Arisman his freshman year like round one at NCAAs, but. Basically killed everyone else, and of course he lost in the final. But.
Yeah.
Right, next question.
Can I bring this up? Well, hold on. One thing that's important. I saw a stat yesterday I want to bring up about that topic, and this might last us to the end. But you know, so there was the one stat at NCAAs of how many more technical falls there was this year than last year. I think it was like 2.5 times, something totally insane. But then, and this is really funny, and I think some people will point to one factor and say, "Well, I was right." So some people said there would be more takedowns because people will be more aggressive because takedowns are worth more. Right. But they did say there was more, not takedown points, but there was more takedowns this year. I can't remember what the percentage increase was. It was significant. But to me, what this points to, and I did not, you know, I did not think of this, and I was against a 3-point takedown, which I think I'm more okay with now, but I think it does devalue mat wrestling. And that is that, you know, you can get to the tech fall. In the two-point takedown and 3-point near fall era, it was like, bro, this tech fall is so far away. I'm going to have to get 6 more takedowns to get to this tech fall or 7 more takedowns to get to the tech fall. I'll just freaking stay on top because that's so far away, you know? And now it's like, oh, it's only two more takedowns to the tech fall. I can do that. No big deal, right? So you let them up and you try to get the tech fall because it's not really that far away. And I think that's something we're seeing a lot is the ability to get to the tech fall is significantly more accomplishable. I don't know if that's a word. And so people are making that effort to get there because they know they can.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. On that topic, there was a question this person asked, like thoughts on what rule changes we need to have. And they advocated for a 3-point reversal. I like that a reversal is worth less than a takedown because it incentivizes top wrestling because you can go for back points and not worry. If you get reversed, like you still have the advantage because you
yes, nobody's thinking about that though.
That's just why I like having the reversal.
Nobody's
what he believes.
Nobody's thinking like, wow, I might give up 2 points here instead of 3 points. I'm not going to attempt this turn.
I don't know. I think that it.
I think there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Well, I think more than any, and also I do think there is the risk there, but also just logically, if going from neutral to on top is worth three, then going from under someone to on top
should be worth four.
Well,
you're going from a neutral position to an advantageous position. Theoretically, if you go from a disadvantage.
All right, we got 1 minute.
To an advantageous position, it should actually be worth more.
I got a hard out 10 o'clock.
All right, one last question. Pretty decent chance the Hawks finish in second if AJ was in at 197. If it was known at the time.
I don't know. Glacier didn't even place.
Yeah.
He lost to Glacier. So doesn't
that's
seem
like, true. He did lose to him.
doesn't seem like
we'll
that would help.
We'll end their show on that. And we'll end their show on that one.
I'm just
what
looking
are the
at,
odds? Is there a chance AJ wrestles there next year?
I have no idea.
Christian, you always know.
I don't want to know.
All right. Well,
seems unlikely.
That is
Angelo Ferrari. Will he's gonna do a great job? He's a fine young man, and a great wrestler.
No more questions.
No more questions at this time. Hey, you're going to Japan. Tell us something interesting about that.
I'm really excited. It's gonna be fun. Wow. I don't know if that's interesting. I'm going to Tokyo.
No, it's not
in Kyoto.
What's in Kyoto?
It's like the ancient capital. It's the old capital before they moved it to Tokyo.
You just wanted to say ancient.
I don't know if it's ancient. I don't know if that's right. So that's why I corrected myself.
What does qualify something as ancient?
2,000 years.
2,000 years?
I think.
That feels right.
Whoa. Yeah.
That feels ancient. All right, we'll try to figure out what ancient is by the next show. That's going to be on Monday. Can't wait for that.
I will be gone for a week.
He'll be gone for a week, so you could celebrate or
I'll be here.
Mourn. It's up to you. I will keep it private what I'm going to do for that week. But we're going to have someone else sit there. Person TDB. Ben's gone. Look at this dork. Dock him that minute, Tyler.
I'm also the accountant.
You have access to that. All right, thanks, guys. See you next time. Goodbye.
Love you.